Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 6th, 2026. Happy New Year. As always, we begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, As Heard on WDWS Episode 1, A New Look on Maze's Move-In. That's Maze, M-A-I-Z-E, Illini's Ascent, Philo Road, Upgrades. It's a culmination of a few different pieces. Up first, Maze Mexican Grill could open its third location at 1305 South Neal Street in Champaign as soon as next week, owner Armando Sandoval said on Monday's inaugural edition of News Gazette Radio. We're in the final stretch, said Sandoval, who has been eyeing this location for like 8 years. A soft launch will precede the grand opening, with the remaining details including getting a state liquor license, the third step in a process that begins with securing a health department license, then a champagne liquor license. Beer won't be on the menu on day one, but we'll get it soon after, he said. February 17th. Marks 10 years leading University of Illinois athletics for Josh Whitman, who can't remember anything that would have rivaled a recent 11-day stretch that brought a record-setting men's basketball romp over Missouri, a second straight football bowl win over an SEC foe, and a top 10 women's basketball upset. It's something we've been working toward for a long time, and to be able to have those three sports that arguably carry the banner for us in terms of public visibility and perception. Winning at the level they are now is really unprecedented, I think, in our program's history. And lastly, it's too soon to share details, but help may be on the way for Philo Road Corridor area residents who miss the convenience of picking up prescriptions from the now-closed Walgreens and CVS, Urbana Mayor Deshaun Williams said. We're going to bring something new, something a little more intimate for folks to fill that void, as well as some other health-forward initiatives that I think are going to be really special for our community. It's all part of the city's Philo Road Ahead initiative, which began with gathering feedback from community members. This has been collectively written by Jeff D'Alessio. You can, your turn, text the show with comments, suggestions. That phone number is 217-356-9397. That's 217-356-9397. You can also reach the hosts by emailing Vice President of News, Jim Rosso, at jrossow@newsgazette.com, and or editor Jeff D'Alessio at his email address, which is jdalessio@newsgazette.com. Submit a question for Kathy's Mailbag, K-A-T-H-Y, Kathy's Mailbag, by emailing mailbag@newsgazette.com. Or you can always submit a letter to the editor of 250 words or fewer by emailing letters, L-E-T-T-E-R-S, at newsgazette.com. Airing from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday on WDWS 1400 a.m. and streaming online at newsgazette.com. There's one photo that accompanies this article. It's taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. It's the exterior of a restaurant location. And during the day, the caption reads, Signage has been removed, and the Red Robin near Marketplace Mall no longer shows up on the chain's location finder, though a notice on the front door states that the closure is temporary. The restaurant remains shuttered about a month after a vehicle struck the building. According to Champaign Fire's Randy Smith, the incident displaced a small section of wall and broke the adjacent windows. So that's not the location for the Maze new restaurant. It's just a photograph of an empty restaurant. So hopefully Red Robin will open again soon. Next up, Urbana School District. LifeLock, that's capital L, both capital L's, LifeLock, one word, offered to victims of data leak. This article is written by Jana Wiersema. She can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. The Urbana School District is offering to provide reimbursement for credit monitoring after accidentally disclosing certain teachers' personal information while responding to a Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, inquiry. According to a proposed agreement between the school board and the Urbana Education Association, personal, private information of certain bargaining unit members was inadvertently disclosed in connection with the district's response to a FOIA request on or about November 24, 2025. To address the issue, the board is offering to reimburse impacted employees for up to 1 year of credit monitoring through LifeLock at a maximum of $90 per employee, which is the cost of the vendor's standard plan. Under the proposed agreement, which is on the agenda for the board's study session tonight, those who wish to be reimbursed would have to provide proof of enrollment by January 31st. By enrolling in LifeLock and/or accepting the district's reimbursement under this MOA, an affected employee is not waiving any rights they may have in relation to any actual damages that they may suffer because of the FOIA disclosure, the agreement states. The News Gazette reached out to the school district and the teachers' union for more information about the incident, but had yet to receive a response from either at the time of writing. The next headline reads, Champaign City Council trades, apostrophe, training program for the at-risk on agenda. This article is written by Jana Wiersema and is based out of Champaign. Again, she can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. The city is looking to partner with a local trade organization to create brighter futures for individuals who have struggled with challenges such as poverty, reentry, and the impacts of gun violence. Tonight's City Council agenda includes a proposed agreement to sponsor 40 at-risk individuals to go through the East Central Illinois Building and Construction Trades Council's pre-apprenticeship program for the underserved. The partnership aims to interrupt the cycle of violence by providing a structured route into careers with stable wages and long-term growth, Community Relations Specialist Betsy Barclay wrote in a report to the council. It focuses on individuals who have had limited access to resources and/or have been involved in or affected by community violence. The contract has a not-to-exceed amount of approximately $280,000. If approved, it will be funded by local dollars through the Community Gun Violence Reduction Blueprint Program, she told the News Gazette. In order to be eligible to participate, individuals must be at least 17 years old, live in the city of Champaign, and have at least one quote-unquote risk factor. Such factors include, but are not limited to, socioeconomic challenges such as poverty, racism, lack of stability, a history of incarceration, being impacted by the justice system or gun violence at risk of becoming involved, and lastly, economic or logistical barriers to receiving educational or vocational training. In addition to skills training, the program also will include mentorship, job application assistance, education about different career pathways, construction site visits, case management, test preparation, and transition support as participants move into union apprenticeships or other training opportunities. Participants will receive a training stipend of $13 per hour. Additionally, Barclay, that's B-A-R-C-L-A-Y, wrote that there will be a barrier reduction fund for participants who need assistance with expenses such as transport, work supplies, identification documents, test fees, and childcare. The proposed contract's not-to-exceed amount includes $84,000 for this fund and $108,160 for stipends. If the agreement is approved, the city plans to collaborate with other Blueprint partners, such as the Housing Authority of Champaign County, First Followers, and the Aklavas Street Outreach Team, as well as stakeholders such as Unit 4 Schools on Recruitment. First Followers runs its own vocational and trades-focused programming that introduces returning citizens and justice-impacted individuals to construction skills and career readiness, Barclay wrote. The Housing Authority operates its Youth Build program, which provides hands-on construction training, education, and workforce preparation for young adults. These two programs create a strong pool of individuals who are already gaining skills, developing work habits, and building confidence. Both programs are ideal recruitment pipelines for the next stage of development into apprenticeship training. Kevin Sage, president of the Trades Council, said that the pre-apprenticeship program is in high demand, with over 400 residents from East Central Illinois applying in the last year. That's 400. We know there are many who are interested in a career in the trades, but who have never been exposed to the pathways to an apprenticeship, he said. This program does that. Over 13 weeks, they get paid, hands-on training in many different trades, meet with union leaders, and learn test preparation skills to help them earn a spot with a local union. It is all built around opportunities in the growing clean energy trades. With funding through the Clean Energy Jobs Act and statewide management by Hire 360. In just the last year, we've had 12 Champaign residents graduate from the program and are excited about the opportunity to welcome even more. The next headline reads, Facing a Friendly Crowd. And it looks like there are tables of people listening, and at the front of the room are four or five speakers and chairs. One person holds a microphone. The caption reads, Illinois women's basketball took the spotlight during Monday's News Gazette Sports Page radio program at Esquire Lounge in downtown Champaign. With members of the Courtsiders in the crowd, the program's radio team of, from left, Mike Kuhn, and former Illini Kendall Bostick, joined the News Gazette's Matt Daniels, Scott Ritchie, and Bob Asmussen on stage Monday. That photo is provided by, or taken by, Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. NG Sports Page, don't miss Kendall Bostick and Mike Kuhn talking with the News Gazette sports crew. We'll see if we have time for that article later today. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. The most viewed content on three of our fast-moving social media platforms in 2025. Instagram. The handle is news_gazette. Illinois basketball took the top three spots in a year we surpassed 18,000 followers, led by Brad Underwood's team taking the court against Xavier for their NCAA tournament opener in Milwaukee. The celebration following the Illini women's team's first NCAA tournament win in 25 years was number two, followed by Terrence Shannon's reaction to his upside-down jersey being raised to the rafters of State Farm Center. From TikTok, created in June and approaching 2,000 followers, our handle was sparked by music. The runaway leader was Illini basketball star-turned-country music singer Myers Leonard's debut concert in his hometown of Robinson. Number two was Barry Hauser's spirited introduction of the 2025-2026 Marching Illini from the practice tower on campus, followed by the school kids going nuts when the Illini women's basketball team reached 67 points at November's field trip day at State Farm Center. And Snapchat. Our three times a year Faces of Fall Winter Spring project and thousands, hundreds of high school students or student athletes visit the newsroom for portraits, interviews, and radio spots. That finished 1, 2, 3 again, thanks to creative skits performed by each school. the top three non-faces stories, high school confidential takeovers by our student reporters from Paxton, Buckley, Loda, Leroy, and Unity. Next up, history. Area history. In 2011, Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower was ecstatic after an Illinois House committee voted 8-3 to send a massive gambling expansion bill, which includes a casino for Danville, to the House floor. Passage of the bill is not a given. Two committee members who voted for the bill said they did so only to allow the full House to vote on the measure, and if it passes the House, it will have to go back to the Senate for that chamber to concur, with a major amendment added. The next headline reads, Danville Mass Transit. City crew steps up after ride service closes, but their ability to help disabled seniors limited to Danville for now. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey, who can be reached by email at jbaily@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Danville. The city of Danville immediately began stepping up to meet certain city residents' transportation needs this past weekend. In light of Friday night's shutdown of CRIS, C-R-I-S, Rural Mass Transit District. CRIS's funding was frozen by the Illinois Department of Transportation after the ride service failed to rectify several accounting issues. Danville Mass Transit Director Stephen White and his team have been in contact with the dialysis centers in Danville and voluntarily spent Saturday driving Danville patients formerly served by CRIS to their appointments. We will continue doing so to the best of our ability until such time as we have worked out logistics and can offer more comprehensive services. Unfortunately, we do not yet have the capacity to offer this for non-Danville residents, but hope to in the future, according to Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. Williams reported on social media that due to the unfortunate and avoidable closure of CRIS Rural Mass Transit District, that's CRIS, C-R-I-S, and then another word, RMTD, the city of Danville is diligently working to close the transportation gap and ensure that both our citizens and our brothers and sisters throughout Vermilion County receive the help they so desperately need. He continued, however, anything outside of the city will require passage of new intergovernmental agreements between the city and state. Other counties, such as Ford and Iroquois, should they desire continued service, and or contracts with individual entities, such as WorkSource and Community Action, to service their clients. Williams said these changes will also require the city to procure equipment, hire and train drivers, and get them additional fleet vehicles insured. We are reaching out to former CRIS RMTD drivers as we speak, and IDOT is working with us to get some of their vehicles transferred to us for future service, he said. A Monday meeting started work on these issues, which will take time, Williams stated. After the city lost population with the census, and the area is now designated rural and not urban, meaning a loss of transportation funding, Williams said the county board didn't support a previous proposal to make the city the lead local financial institution for transportation funding. There were concerns, over funding allocations. Although dereliction has put us all in a bad spot, I have every confidence that if we work together, we'll be able to provide the transportation services our citizens need, Williams said. Vermilion County Board Chairman Steve Miller said the state first said there had to be a choice between the city or CRIS Rural Mass Transit District as the agency the state deals with for Vermilion County transportation needs. However, Miller said the county then didn't have to make a choice with the state changes, and it was decided to keep the status quo in effect for both agencies. Things went south from there, Miller said about Chris Rural Mass Transit. We don't govern that body. We started getting reports from the state that Chris's records were less than desirable. Miller said the county didn't step in to try to help. I felt probably it was beyond redemption at that time, he said, adding that the state would then look after the matter. Williams said IDOT issued an audit report from the past few years where Chris Rural Mass Transit District only had receipts proving 46% of its expenditures. Miller said there are hundreds of disabled and senior county residents who need the transportation for dialysis and doctor appointments, shopping, and other needs. Miller expects the state to work with the city of Danville to provide needed paratransit services through DMT. And there's an exterior photo of a building on a sunny day. The caption reads, Danville Mass Transit has stepped up to assist city residents who need rides to dialysis, doctor's appointments, and more in the wake of the shutdown of the Chris Rural Mass Transit District over financial issues. And that is a file photo. As a quick note, the story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. Next up, let's take a look at our weather forecast over the next few days. Today, 50 degrees, cloudy. Patchy drizzle in the morning, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow, slightly warmer, the high will be 53, the low is 32, sunny, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, the high will be even warmer, 58 degrees with a low of 39, cloudy, a chance of showers in the morning, then showers 80% likely in the afternoon. Friday, warmer still, a high of 59, a low of 50, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers. By Saturday, the temperature high will be 41, low 34, mostly cloudy. The next headline reads, this article comes from the B section of the paper for today, which is the town hall section, where every Tuesday in the News Gazette, we'll turn over our commentary page to community members and other experts with local ties. If you have interest in weighing in on a topic making news, you can contact editor Jeff D'Alessio at jdalessio@newsgazette.com. Now, My Turn by Gil, G-I-L, Terryberry, T-E-R-R-I-B-E-R-R-Y. Wanted, township supervisor with a sizable skill set. And this is also, let's see. One moment. There seems to be kind of a misprint. Okay. There are over 1,400 townships in Illinois, including 30 in Champaign County. Most are primarily concerned with property valuation. Assessor is the only elected office in Illinois with educational and certification requirements. Road and bridge maintenance and emergency public assistance for residents, including short-term rental assistance and case management, referring residents facing financial hardships to the appropriate social service providers. I learned about the road work when I rented in Philo and met the guy who had the contract to plow our street. I represented him in a house purchase, and he promised he wasn't waiting for me to shovel our driveway before plowing that snowy November of 2000. It was just coincidence that the end of the drive got buried after I cleared it. I learned more about townships when a real estate colleague got elected as supervisor of City of Champaign Township in 2009. She had a staff of two who did the casework and distributed emergency assistance and did not have to deal with roads because the city handled them. She also continued to be an active realtor and real estate license instructor. She was proud of the fact that the township was conservative in its provision of emergency assistance, careful to stay within budget. In fact, I had a tenant who benefited when she lost her job driving a school bus due to a leg injury, and the township picked up half her rent for a few months until I could help her get into an affordable first-floor apartment. In 2012, Andy Kornstrom, a firefighter, was elected to the supervisor position on a platform of increasing and improving the public assistance and social service components of the job. Over the next 10 years, the staff grew to 9, including a deputy supervisor. Kornstrom also stayed active in the fire department, rising through the ranks. It is not unusual for elected township supervisors to treat the position as a part-time job in Illinois. City of Champaign Township shares its borders with the city and has historically been supported by city staff for human resources, budgeting, accounting, and information technology. In 2021-2022, a number of factors combined to trigger significant growth in the township staff and budget. Homelessness was becoming an epidemic, and COVID-19 grant funds became available to the city. At the same time, CU at Home, the primary provider of shelter services, was shifting its emphasis to transitional housing with programming designed to move people back into self-sufficiency and housing. After an effort to run the shelter on East Washington Street as a low-barrier emergency facility, the organization decided to get out of the emergency shelter business. Bailey Van Antwerp, the deputy supervisor, became the driving force behind a township proposal to take on the emergency shelter responsibility using the grant money that had come to the city. The city contracted with the township to pass on the grant funds, and the township acquired the Washington Street shelter from CU at Home. With the addition of shelter-related staffing, the township workforce grew to over 30 by November of 2022. At the time, no other organization, governmental, for-profit, or nonprofit, indicated interest in taking on a low-barrier emergency shelter. This is easy to understand. Low barrier is really difficult. The difficulty inherent in attempting to serve this population has been discussed elsewhere at length, so has the need for the service. By 2024, the township was up to 50-plus employees. Van Antwerp left Champaign for a career growth position, and Kornstrom was tagged for fire chief. The supervisor job was filled on an interim basis until the next scheduled election in 2025. I was one of the applicants, but I was only interested in the interim position, having no desire to hold it until I reached the age of 80. It appeared to me that the township needed to involve other stakeholders in the region if it was going to continue providing shelter and social services reaching far beyond the borders of the city of Champaign, and I would have liked to re-examine the vision and mission of the township in this light. Now the township is again looking for an interim supervisor, this time serving until the next election in 2029. I believe that the city, the township, board, city staff, and whomever is selected to fill the interim position need to take a long look at what is going to be required of the next supervisor. Township supervisor is no longer, really, a part-time job in Champaign. Gil Terryberry served as a case manager at the City of Champaign Township's Strides Low Barrier Shelter when it first opened. And there's one photograph that accompanies this article. It's a room of people speaking in microphones. Champaign Township Supervisor, the decision on who succeeds him will be made. Just one moment. By the Township Board, which is comprised of the same people as the Champaign City Council. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 6, 2026. I'll be back to read part two of the News Gazette with you shortly. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day.